Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So if my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't hesitate because I am a seed. Cause every good.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Amen. Welcome to What Christians Speak Talk Radio. Reverend Ray, we're broadcasting today on live broadcast. Amen. This is Friday Night Joy. Amen. We're excited to be with you. Amen. On today, amen. As we're getting closer and closer to the end of this month and for the month of April, amen. God is good. He has brought us through some things, that's for sure. So we have so much to be thankful for. So I pray that you had a blessed week, and I pray also that you have a blessed and a safe weekend that's coming up. Amen. So real quick, what we want to do is go ahead and let you know about the announcements, what we got coming up. Amen. Amen. We got some broadcasts getting ready to come up. I'm excited about what God is going to do. Amen. Amen. And amen. Okay. I want to remind you that His Abounding Grace with Vanessa Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Amen. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Amen. Declaring the Finished Work with Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Amen. Friday Night Joy, of course, is tonight. That's me, Reverend Ray. Amen. At 7 p.m. The Bread of Life, Reverend Ray, is the first and the third Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. The monthly broadcast are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Novena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwain is every third Monday of the month. Amen. At 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One, Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson. Amen. It's every fourth Sunday. In fact, they got a broadcast coming up this Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Elston Green, Cleophas Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. The week, the prayer, midday glory prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The dollar number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. We encourage you to go and check out the different platforms that we broadcast on. iHeartRadio, Spreaker, of course, Blog Talk Radio, just the name of Spotify, amen, just to name a few, amen, iTunes, we're all over the place. So go back and listen to the broadcast on a different platform, and go and check out our website at whenchristianspeak.com, amen. And if you have a desire to get in contact with us, you can do so by going to whenchristianspeak@gmail.com. Amen. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father God, we come today first to say thank you. Thank you for your many blessings, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for keeping us, God, today, Lord Jesus, for someone somewhere didn't make it. We thank you, Lord Jesus, just for your mercy. We thank you, God, for your healing, and your healing that's taking place not just in America, but all across the world, God. But even though some are not making it and some are dying, yet still you are healing others, God. And we just want to thank you for those that you are healing and those that you would continue to heal. We pray that you, blessed Holy Spirit, would come and have your way today. You set the atmosphere. You set the tone. God, someone is hurting. Someone needs to hear a word from you, Lord Jesus. So we pray, God, that you will begin to break me up, that I may only speak the words that you have given me to say. They are line upon line and precept upon precept, God. You know, that they might match the words that you have given me, Lord Jesus. I might not say anything different, Lord Jesus. We pray that some healing and some delivering take place, God, during this time. We pray, God, that someone be encouraged, Lord Jesus, during this time. We will forever give you all the praise and the glory. In Christ Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. So again, this is Friday Night Joy. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. I thought Reverend Robbins would be with me, but I don't think she may come in later. Amen. But our topic is Don't Stop Having Hope. This is part two. We did this last Friday, amen. And we tried to do part two on Sunday, but we had some technical difficulties, so we ended up putting in part one again. So if you got a chance to listen to part one, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it again. There's a lot of things that Reverend Robin and I both were talking about. Amen. And we're not going to be before you long. This is not going to be a long broadcast, but I did want to finish this up. Amen. As far as for us to not, don't stop having hope. I mean, especially with all that's going on in the world today, all the chaos, all the craziness, the virus, the hate, and everything, we got to remain hopeful, not in man and not in things, but in Jesus Christ. We got to remain hopeful that he got us, that we're covered under the blood. That's what we got to remain hopeful in. We got to remain hopeful to the fact that knowing without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, you know, that who may ever will, you know, might have a life, might have the right to the tree of life, that we can live, y'all, even in the midst of all that's going on, even in the midst of death and in the midst of all kinds of craziness, we can live, you know, we can live, you know, and that living is not dealing with just the air that we breathe. It's more than that. But that living is with Christ. That living is because of the promises of that Jesus Christ has given us. That living is that. You know, it goes beyond just the air that we breathe. You know what I mean? It goes beyond just our daily routine. But it's our relationship with him that's living, you know. For he is life, okay? He life. He is life. He died so that we can live. Okay? So we can't give up on hope and everything. We gotta continue to press forward or push to the mark of a higher calling in Jesus Christ. We gotta continue to keep people in prayer and intercede and fast and encourage and exhort one another and sharpen each other's iron, especially during these times. Because these are definitely times that will try men's souls. People are giving up the ghost because they got nowhere there to go. But we are the salt, light, and power, and we have the answers to reveal to people that who Jesus Christ is. So don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Our hope is built in Jesus Christ, the solid rock. You know, a couple of Fridays ago, I was reading this the song, the old song that they used to sing back in the day, man. I'm telling you, on Christ the solid rock I stand. My hope is built on nothing less. Remember that? You know, for those that may be my old age, older, they used to sing that song, man, you know. And it was singing with everything they had in them, you know. The song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not, the song goes on to say, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's what we're doing now. That's why we have hope. That's why we shouldn't even lose hope. You know, we're leaning on Jesus' name. We're leaning on the promises of yea and amen. Man, he said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other grounds is sinking sand. So on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other grounds are sinking sand. I can't depend on the stimulus check. Okay, you can't depend on that. You can't depend on what the government is going to do. You want the government to do what it's supposed to do. You want the state and the local officials and the businesses to do what they're supposed to do. But our trust is in Jesus Christ. We lean it on him. He's the one, you know, that can heal us, that can deliver us, that can put the thought into a man's mind about whether there's a cure for the virus or not, you know. This is the time right now. I believe that people need to reflect on him. And I think what's going on is that people, I was talking to someone earlier this week, and people are getting antsy because they've been in the house so long, so they're ready to get out, you know, or they're ready to go back to work, and because the finances is not there. And maybe they're running out of food and everything. But people are dying left and right, man. It slowed down a little, but it ain't slowed down that much. You know, I think they're averaging about 500 to 1,000 people that's dying every day. And that's just here in America. So, yeah, we can't lose hope. We got to continue to press forward. You know, we got to continue to believe God for a cure, for a healing. You know, and not just a cure just to get rid of the virus, but a cure and a healing and that's holistically in nature. They don't not only just do the virus, but anything and everything that is opposite of Jesus Christ. Do we be cured? Do we be healed from it? You know, I mean, healed and cured to the point that those things won't come back ever again. So we're living in that time. Let me finish reading the song. I said, but wholly lean on Jesus. Then on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. When darkness veil his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, here it is, my anchor holds within the veil. We got to hold on. There was another song that we used to sing back in the days that hold to God's unchanging hand. We got to hold on. Okay, his oath, his covenant, his blood. My anchors hold within the veil, his oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my souls give way, all around us is giving way. You know, we have families, not just one, but two or three families that's dying in the family. All, you know, is giving way. You know, he says, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all the hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. You know, all other grounds are sinking sand. Now, with this the declaration of Christ, with this meaning of standing on Christ, he gives us wisdom, okay? We can't be good. We can't tempt God now. We can't go out there in the midst of things and know that these things are out there to do us harm and to take it out, and that, well, I'm going to go out there and tempt God. No, we can't do that. Then another song, verse of the song said, His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my souls give way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds is sinking sand. Yeah, all other ground is sinking sand, y'all. We're trusting in Jesus Christ. We're believing in him. We have an hope in him. We're not a defeated people. We know where our help comes from. We can look to the hills and know that our help is going to be there. We can. We're not defeated. You know, if we that are called by the name of Jesus Christ are believers in him, that will humble our ways and begin to seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, that the Bible goes on to talk about, he will hear us, but there will be a healing of the land. You know, there will be a healing of the land. This is a direct reflection on us as believers, that God is saying, where are my people? Where are my priests? Where are my intercessors? You know, where are my pastors and my bishops? Where are those that know how to get a prayer through? Where are you? You know, so we don't have to not have hope. We hope in Jesus Christ. We hope in the promises of him that he said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's what our hope is in. Amen. We hope in him. Amen. Like I said, I'm not going to be before you. You know, Yolanda, this is going to be a very short broadcast, but I wanted to And this is what I want to do the last week. Amen. We didn't get a chance to do it, but I want you to turn in your scriptures, turn in the Bible to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11. I want to read this, and as I read it, we'll break it down into some things. Amen. It said, "Then the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which were full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." You know, so Ezekiel, God is showing Ezekiel some things right now. When he mentioned about these bones being dry, he said they were very dry. When they become something that's very dry, that means it's brittle. It means it's almost to the dust, like it's going to break away. If you touch it, it falls apart. Okay? And he said unto me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest." I can imagine Ezekiel going like, "Man, God, I only want to know that it's you." He said, but he asked him a question. Can these bones live? So for us, if we see something like that, our first human reaction would be, no, they dead. In fact, they going back to the dust almost, you know, and stuff like that. But Ezekiel had a different approach and stuff. He looked at it. He said, "Oh, God, only you know." So we need to look at that even now, and especially what we're facing today, and say, "God, only you know. Not my will, but your will be done." And again, he said to me, "Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." That's what we need now. We need that word coming into us. This is going to restore some of our hope, okay? He said, "Hear the word of the Lord." Okay? It says, "Thus said the Lord God, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." And the bones are dead, okay? But they're dry. Well, the bones are dry. They're dry bones. But God has said that I'm going to cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. So there's a prophecy that's going through to the dry bones that applies for us even today, even with the chaos and even with us losing sight on the things of God. He said that we should live. We should live. So he began to say, he said, verse 6, "I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I'm the Lord thy God." See, the thing that's going on, that we need to understand, that God is prophesying to the children of Israel, but he's prophesying to the church that I'm going to do something that you will know that I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. You know, I'm going to do this. You know, he can do it. So he's doing it for his name's sake. He's getting all the glory. You're going to know. I remember there's another scripture in the Bible that talks about that God said, "I'm going to cause you to worship me, to do my will, or to obey me. I'm going to cause you to do that," you know. And then he said, verse 7 says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." That there's another piece here that I want you to understand. There's an obedience piece that takes place with the prophet. There's an obedience piece that takes place with us as believers. Once God has given us a word, we got to act on it, okay? We have to act on it. If God has given you the word to prophesy and to preach or to teach or to intercede with all that's going on there, we have no choice but to do exactly that. He said, "So I prophesied as I commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." Every bone knew, in the scripture, particular scripture, every bone knew where it was supposed to go. It didn't need any instructions. It knew. You know, it knew what it was supposed to do, what it was supposed to look like, and how it was supposed to react, and everything like that. As soon as the command was given, but the command had to be given, you know. We, you, me, as believers, have a command. You know, to be obedient and go forth and do what God has called us to do. That caused those dry bones. And in this case, I'm just adding my own part to it, but I believe that in this case, that here in 2020, the dry bones can be us, can be souls, it can be not fulfilling the destinies of the promises. You know, when this situation of the valley of the dry bones, you know, don't know whether a war had taken place or what, why the bones had become dry. But when you think about something dry, for me, I think about it had lost all life. There was no life in it. So God is saying to the dry bones, I'm going to restore life into you. You know, I'm going to restore life. And in most cases, it's something that we did to cause life to go out of us anyway. But here, because of Jesus Christ, he wants to restore life in us. He wants us to have the right to the tree of life. You know, he wants us to live and not die. Now, don't get me wrong, there will be people that was going to pass off from this earth to glory. There were people, because the Bible said there's an appointed for man who wants to die, then after that comes judgment. So then people are going to die. People are going to leave this world. All of us going to leave this world one day or another and everything like that. But the thing is, where is your relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, where are you in Jesus? Are you leaving this world as a dry bone, or are you leaving this world that God has, as one that God has prophesied and said that you should live and not die? When Jesus was talking about, the disciples were talking about Lazarus, saying that he was dead, Jesus first told them that he was asleep, you know. And then because he said that, and they misunderstood what he was talking about, he had to go back and change it and say, no, he's Lazarus is dead, so that I can prove to you that, in other words, I'm paraphrasing, because I can prove to you that God has sent me. It was meant that this can be something that the people will believe and be talking about for years. We're still talking about how Lazarus came back to life. Okay? We're still talking about this. Okay? Verse 8. Let me go back to verse 7. So I prophesied as I commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So in other words, they got everything that they need. They got the muscles back, they got the flesh back, and everything. The bone have come back together, but there's no breath in it. They're not alive yet, because God hasn't breathed into them. That part of the prophecy hadn't come true at this point. He said, verse 9 says, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they might live. In other words, here we go right here. I was talking about earlier, about how these bones are going to become dry. These were slain. You know, these people were slain. These bone people were slain, and they had dried up completely. There was no flesh in them. There was no life in them. And they were brittle to the point they had broken apart. That's why they had to come back bone to bone. Okay? So the thing that we need to understand about understanding our hope, that even in our most hopeless situation, no matter what it looked like or how dark it might be, we might have got to the point that we can't even move, to the point that we are so grieving, or we're so hurt, or we don't know what else to do now. Here is an example of still having hope. Here is an example that we have in hope and trusting in God. The bones thought they had themselves, or the people had given up. Just like now, they had given up, didn't know which way to turn, confused, turning on each other, hating one another because they did this or somebody said that, and all this kind of stuff. But yet still God is saying that you should live. Okay? All right, verse 10 says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet. An exceedingly great army. An exceedingly great army. I'm going to say, I'm not calling myself a prophet, but I'm going to say that even in the midst of this, God is creating an army. an army of those that will be willing to cry loud and spare not, an army of those that will be willing to die for his name's sake, an army of those that are willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, an army of those that willing to go before the presidents and the governors and the electors and the world leaders and of the different nations and declare the wondrous work of the Lord. He's creating an army. So get ready. There's an army being created today. You know, even in the midst of hurt and pain and death and suffering and the valley of death and all those things that are going on, an army is being created. You know, an army is being created. He said, therefore, prophesy unto, say, let me go back. Okay, I say, so I prophesied, to verse 10, it says, so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. That's what God said. I ain't even nobody. It's the whole house. You know, behold, they say, our bones are dry. Here we go right here. Our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our pots. Listen, they declare themselves. He said, our bones are all dried up. You know, there ain't no liquid. There's no blood. There's no water flowing through the body. They dried up. They're brittle. They're broken. They're broken apart. Our hope is lost. We don't have nothing to hope for. We are just desolate. We're in a place of like a desert or a wilderness experience, and we have no way out. We have no way out. He said, but we are cut off from our parts. Not only are our bones dry, but we are cut off. We're not together. That's why they had to come back together again when Ezekiel began to prophesy. 12 said, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus said the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. He said, I'm going to open your graves and cause you to come up out of your grave. In other words, just like Lazarus, you were dead, but I'm going to resurrect you. Just like Lazarus, you were dead and wrapped in grave clothes, but I'm going to resurrect you. I'm bringing you back to life because I'm going to make an army out of you. You know, he said, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your grave. You know, I like that. He said, not only am I going to open, but I'm going to cause you to come out of it. You ain't going to stay dead, you know, and bring you to the land of Israel. And you should know that I am the Lord when I have opened your grave. In other words, when I begin to restore you, I begin to restore those things that the cankerworm and the locust and the grasshopper and the poundworm have eaten, and I'm beginning to restore those things even greater. To the point that where the greater is better than what took place in the past. The temple is greater now compared to what was in the past. I'm beginning to restore you of everything. I'm beginning to fix you up. I'm beginning to breathe life into you. I'm beginning to show you my glory, show you my promises, show you all the things that I have you, and point you in the right direction. And you can be a strong army. You can be an army willing to say, thus says the Lord. He said, let me go back to 13. He said, and you should know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your grave. You're going to know. You will know then that I am the Lord. And said, put my spirit in you, and you should live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then said you, he know that I have the Lord have spoken it and performed it, said the Lord. And the word of the Lord came again to unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel and his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph and the stick of Ephraim, for all the house of Israel and his companion, and join them one another unto one stick. And they shall become one in thy hand. And when the children of Israel shall speak unto thee, saying, what thou not show us, what thou not show unto them, what thou meanest, say unto them, thus said the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribe of Israel, his fellows, and put them with them, and even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. And they should be one in my hand. And the sticks wherein thou writest shall be in thy hand before thy eyes. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them up on every side and bring them into their own land. And this is the promise that he made to the Jews. Amen. Going back into that, they will have another Israel be reborn and going back to having their own land. Okay, but I want to finish reading it. And I'll make thee one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore, neither shall they defy themselves anymore with idols, and nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgression. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places where they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, so they should be my people, and I will be their God. You know, this has taken place with Israel, but this also applies for us because of Jesus Christ. Okay? This applies for us that we are his people now. Amen? That we are his people. I'm almost done. And verse 24 says, and David's servant shall be king over them. And he said, and they shall all have one shepherd. And they shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given them unto Jacob, where your fathers have dwelt in. And they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children, their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. There shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever. You know, when my sanctuary, there's a promise to the children of Israel that will take place, to the Jews, that will take place. But this promise, y'all, because we've been grafted into the promise of Jesus Christ, applies to us also. That's why we don't have to, and I'm not saying that we can mess with someone, we all going back to Israel. I don't know that and stuff like that. But I think that's just dealing with the nation in itself. But for us, we know Jesus Christ brought us back into relationship with Christ again. With God again. Therefore, y'all, we can cry, Abba, Father. We can go behind the veil, you know, and don't have to worry about somebody having to use the string to drag us out because we went back in there unworthy. It's Christ that's made us worthy. It's nothing that we did. So the thing that we need to understand is don't give up hope. That's basically all we're saying. Don't give up hope. Hold on. Trust God. Believe God. And know that he got you through all of this. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you again for the broadcast. We thank you for those that are listening, God. We pray, God, the words that we said, it would encourage someone to let them know, Lord Jesus, that you want them to live and not die. That they have hope and they have our promises. And their promises, yea and amen in you. So we pray for those that are sick and shut in. We lift up to those that are suffering through because of this virus, God. We pray, God, for complete healing, God. Complete holistically healing from the top of that head to the sole of their feet. God, we pray for the nurses and the doctors and those that are working the front line, the ambulance, God, and those that are working the front lines that need prayer, God. We pray not only for them, but we lift them up, their families. We pray for the churches, God. But this is a time right now that we can't have churches normal, God, but we can still fellowship with each other, God, through the social media and through the different sites, God. We can still sing songs of glory. We can have church in our own home, God, and to worship you, God. So we pray that we will take this time and learn more of you, God. We pray that we take this time and begin to turn away from our evil ways. Anything and everything that's contrary to your will, God, we pray against right now. Every demonic spirit, we pray against right now, Lord Jesus. Anything and everything, God, that's opposite, God, we pray that you will begin to move obstacles out of our life that's not pleasing to you. We make our word cause us, God, to serve you and to worship, God. Make our worship and our praise to you, God, holy and acceptable, God. God, allow us to do the things that are righteous by your sight, Lord Jesus. Forgive us of any sins that we committed, sins of omission and sins of commission. We will ever, forever, forever give you all the praise, all the glory, and the honor. In Christ Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. So, y'all, again, I pray that you have a blessed afternoon and blessed night and be safe out there. Amen. Use some wisdom. I know that there's a lot of places, a lot of states that open up or attempting to open up the government and everything. Amen. But I want you to use wisdom and I want you to be obedient to the things of God, you know. There was something that was posted on Facebook. Let me see if I can turn to it real quick. I want to share with you real quick, man. And it's getting a lot of hits. I didn't post it. Somebody else posted it. Amen. But it's it attracted a lot of people. It went rightfully so, you know, and everything rightfully so. And something that made you think, okay? It made you think. And let me see if I can go to the actual post real quick, you know. And the statement says that Noah didn't swim in the flood to prove he and his family stayed in the ark until it was safe. Okay, and when I posted that, I was like, oh, I got to share this. He said Noah didn't swim in the flood to prove his faith. You know, he and his family stayed in the ark until it was safe. That's amazing. You know, and that's what I want to say to you, that some of us that's getting, you know, sort of crazy men and house and all that kind of stuff. You know, everything has a season. Okay, everything has a season. There's a time and a season for everything. And sometimes we just gotta stay in the boat, you know, be with Jesus until that season is over with. Amen. Amen. God bless everyone. Y'all have a great night. Amen.